I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Later in the program, two women judges in Cameroon try to even the scales of justice for women and children. A new documentary airing tonight tells their story. We'll talk with the Mocha Moms on the never-ending battle to keep teens safe while driving, and a look back at Jimi Hendrix. He would have been 65 today. But first, World AIDS Day is Saturday, and a new report this week shows that this nation's capital is also the nation's HIV capital. Washington, D.C. has the nation's highest rate of HIV/AIDS infection in the country, a rate 10 times higher than the national average. The report by the city's HIV/AIDS administration showed that 1 in 20 city residents has HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, and 1 in 50 has AIDS. And a disproportionate number of those cases were among African Americans. The new report shows, in this city at least, how deeply the disease has penetrated both the general population and the African American community. In the studio with us to talk about this is Dr. Shannon Hader. She's director of the Washington, D.C. HIV/AIDS Administration. We're also joined by Ray Lewis Thornton, an AIDS survivor and a longtime AIDS educator. She's at NPR Chicago Bureau. Ladies, welcome, and thank you so much for speaking with us about this important topic.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Dr. Hader, the numbers are certainly sobering, but are they surprising in any way to you?
Well, I think more than surprising, they're important. We can spend a lot of time guessing and postulating and proposing and planning on faith rather than on facts. And what we have now is we have facts and we have information. We have a snapshot of where we're at in the epidemic. And that can only help us be better at where we need to go.
80% of the new cases in Washington were among African Americans. Does this say anything culturally, or is it just a simple fact of arithmetic and demographics that Washington, D.C. is a majority black city?
Well, I think it shows us where we're at in the modern epidemic, and it can be a wake-up call for anyone who's, I think, stuck in the past and has the stereotype in their mind that HIV only affects one face, one type of person, or if they have an image that this is the early 80s white gay men's disease only, that's just not it. And so this is something that should be meaningful to residents in the district.
Ray, more people became HIV positive through heterosexual sex than through men having sex with men or IV drug use. Now, I know you have been talking about this for years, but I wondered if that, the predominance of that as a mode of transmission, did that surprise you?
It didn't. In fact, we've known this about women for years. The fact of the matter is that they're still women, for the most part, are infected disproportionately by heterosexual sex. When I looked at the statistics, I'm still in a doubt about the study in regard to, we still, there 23% of the people in this study were still infected unknown. And so I wonder how many of those people are really the other, men who have sex with men and or IV drug use.
Not being
honest. Men who have sex with men. Mm-hmm. So, I it's alarming, but we still have, in the scheme of that study, there's still 23% of the people who don't know how they're infected. I'm curious about that.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned, Ray, that black women have been particularly hard hit by the disease, but this report also showed that 70% of new cases in Washington were men. Why might that be?
You know, I think that we all live in, I think historically, everyone has wanted to believe that HIV is the other, it's someone else. And so even among gay men, we're seeing a rise of HIV cases because they believe that it's a disease for old gay men and not young gay men. And so I think that we've let our guards down because there isn't enough press about it. There's not enough education about it. We've let our guards down because there's a belief that, HIV isn't as serious. We've had journalists and medical doctors comparing it to diabetes, which it's not like diabetes. I live it. I tell you that for sure. And so I think that we haven't made it a serious issue. And so that people have let their guards down. And I think that's across the board with whatever community is at infected by this disease.
Dr. Hader, what do you think about that figure, that 70% of new cases being men? Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it actually is consistent with what we're seeing, which is we have multiple high-risk groups in D.C. We don't have a single epidemic. It's not just a heterosexual epidemic. It's not just a men who have sex with men epidemic. It's not just an injection drug user epidemic. We have multiple risk factors and multiple sort of risk groups going on. And I think the fact that a lot of men are still getting infected does in fact reflect the fact that we still have a substantive amount of transmission in the MSM community. And
importantly, men having sex with men.
Yeah, I'm sorry, men who having sex with men. I think importantly, about 2/3 of the men who have sex with men who are reported in this report as having gotten HIV, about 2/3 are black. So I think it's really time to also talk about what it means to be a black gay man, what it means to be a black man having sex with men, and how we support our family, our community, and decrease some of the stigma and help people protect themselves.
Speaking of people protecting themselves, I think people tend to think of AIDS as a disease of the young. The report showed that a majority of new cases in this city were among people older than 40. And I found this fascinating because, you know, this generation has spent its entire adulthood in the shadow of AIDS. You know, mm-hmm. I'm over 40. I remember in my 20s that people starting to die. And I just wonder, you know, why is this population now so vulnerable? Is it because they don't think they are? Ray, I don't know. You might have some thoughts about this. What do you think?
I think that, you know, at one level, we don't see no one sees themselves at risk for HIV unless they are IV drug users or men who have sex with men. That's a reality. So you have this group of people who are, you know, the over 40 community, the over 65 community. We've seen an increase of the 65 and older with the rise and sale of Viagra and Cialis. And so no one wants to believe that they travel in a circle that would put them at risk for HIV or that their behavior is risky behavior. And I think that's, you know, part of the problem is how we see risk and how people define risk. Nobody wants to believe that, you know, especially women, that I'm in a monogamous relationship and I'm at risk for HIV.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More. I'm speaking with Dr. Shannon Hader, director of the Washington, D.C. HIV/AIDS Administration, and Ray Lewis Thornton, an AIDS survivor and a longtime AIDS educator. Ray, as you mentioned, you've lived with AIDS for a long time, over 20 years, I think it is.
And, yes, I was diagnosed 20 years ago.
And you were saying that you think people misunderstand. They think now that because we talk about it as a chronic condition, it's like diabetes, and you said it is not that way. Can you just briefly tell us what's different that you think people need to understand?
Well, the fact of the matter is there's no cure for HIV, and HIV is a very intelligent virus. It adapts to everything you give it. So eventually, you know, someone who starts out, get early treatment and diagnosis for HIV, who starts out at 2 pills a day, will eventually end up somewhere where I was at. I just switched regimens, but up until 2 weeks ago, I was injecting in my stomach twice a day and taking 14 pills a day. And so there are side effects to medications, and still HIV behaves differently in every person depending on the strand of the virus. And so some people, you know, do very well with drug and treatment and care, and some people do poorly with drug treatment and care. And so this illusion that you can take pop two pills in your mouth a day and keep going is just, you know, it's not right. And then there are emotional baggage to HIV that you don't get with other drugs, mm-hmm. because there's still so much stigma and shame attached to this disease. And many people, especially African Americans, live in denial. They live in secret. They have no support systems because they're afraid to tell their pastors. They're afraid to tell their mm-hmm. mothers. And so diabetes doesn't carry that kind mm-hmm. of weight.
Mm, that's an important point. Dr. Hader, I wanted to ask, what do you want to do now? What is your response to this information now that you have it? I know that you want to ramp up the availability of free condoms in the city. That's one approach you want to take. Why is that important? And what else do you want to do?
Well, I think we want to hit hard, hit everywhere. So we have multiple approaches to take. Certainly, increasingly availability of free condoms is part of that. But that goes hand in hand also with supporting community-based organizations, faith-based organizations, other members of the community to really also ramp up prevention skills, negotiation skills, thinking and decision-making on how at an individual level we make decisions to keep ourselves safe. In addition to that, I think an important thing we saw out of this data as well is that there are a lot of people getting tested too late. they're first finding out they have HIV right around the time they're already immune compromised. They've already developed AIDS, and that's just not okay. We do want people to get tested earlier, to get into care earlier, and to help preserve their health and before their immune system's really taken a hard hit. So the second area we're focusing on is really getting more people more routinely tested and sort of building on what Ray's saying. Part of this is trying to shift HIV into a realm like we treat all of our other medical diseases. So when you go get a checkup, you should be getting your body mass index for your obesity, and you should be getting your blood pressure checked for hypertension, and you should be getting your blood sugar checked for diabetes. Well, you should also be getting an HIV test. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have to beg for that from your provider.
Mm-hmm. I see. Ray, we have about a minute left. Is there anything over the years you've been working with this and living with this that you think would make a difference? If you could wave your wand, what would it be?
Well, I think that African Americans specifically have to understand that AIDS is live and real. It's set up camp in our community. We must get tested because early diagnosis can and will prolong your life. 30% of all new cases of people infected are infected by people who didn't know they were infected. So testing is critical and crucial for African Americans. We have to then, once we know, go get treatment. So we're dying at a disproportionate rate than our white counterparts because we're not getting treatment and care. And most importantly, we have to have some personal responsibility and begin to use condoms 100% of the time. And that's the bottom line, because AIDS, it's not going anywhere.
All right. Ray, thank you so much for what you've been doing all these years to keep people informed. Ray Lewis Thornton is an AIDS survivor and educator. She joins us from our NPR Chicago Bureau. We were also joined by Dr. Shannon Hader. She's the director of the D.C. HIV AIDS Administration, and she was kind enough to join me here in our Washington studio. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us and for talking with us.
Thank you.